but they were all of them deceived. For another ring was made. In the land of Mordor, in the fires of Mount Doom, the Dark Lord Sauron forged in secret a master ring to control all others. And into this ring, he poured his cruelty, his malice, and his will to dominate all life. One ring to rule them all. One by one, free lands of Middle-earth fell to the power of the ring. But there were some who resisted. A last alliance of men and elves marched against the armies of Mordor, and on the slopes of Mount Doom, they fought for the freedom of Middle-earth.
All right, well, we're here. Well, I'm here. It finally happened.
Where are you?
I've journeyed, I've taken the long road to Mordor. To the Middle Earth. You know, down under, as my dad said to me the other day.
Like, not joking though, you actually made it to where, you know, this has been a long time coming, man. Congratulations.
I'm here. I'm in New Zealand. Of course, they don't let me out. They haven't let me out into society yet. So I'm in quarantine.
That has nothing to do with COVID. They're just worried about you, right? Just your general demeanor.
Yeah, all podcasters have to be quarantined for 2 weeks while they check the content of the cast. They might leave us out, let me out early if I make if I say good things about Lord of the Rings. So that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, it's really timely. They're like, talk about how beautiful the landscapes are, how beautiful our people are.
How appropriate this place is to film all of the, you know, the places and sites from the imagination of J.R.R. Tolkien.
In quarantine, are you getting a taste of the Shire? Is it a Shire-like?
Shire is tasty, as we all know. And yeah, it's you know, we've got fresh food from Farmer Maggots coming in, you know, that we can placed in a basket. Lembas bread for breakfast.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. Nice crispy bacon, Mr. Frodo.
Wow. Are you pounding lamb yet? Do they give you lamb?
Yeah, we've had lamb a couple times. There's been lamb sausage in the mornings for breakfast, once for lunch. Mm. A slightly different lamb sausage. And then we had a nice lamb roast one night. But it's been pretty diverse. We get a choice of three meals or three items on the menu for each meal. But you have to decide the very first day you arrive. They're like, all right, put this out of your door, and then those are your meals for the next 2 weeks. So
oh wow.
But we can Uber Eats. We can send food in. But, you know, I'm just enjoying the hotel food for now until I go completely crazy in week two. And then I'll start ordering pizza and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been 2 weeks, so it's been less than a week, almost a week.
It's been less than a week, yeah. We're on at the end of day five, with the arrival day being day zero, because they call that day zero, because that's when you arrive at the hotel.
So that doesn't count?
No, it counts. Okay. The 14 days started when our plane arrived in New Zealand.
Okay.
So 8 a.m. Sunday morning. Yeah, that's when we are free to go. Although, because we landed and they immediately flew us to Christchurch to quarantine.
Right.
At 8 a.m., I guess they will, then we will be able to free to board another flight back. So, you know, we're not going to quite, you know, we don't get to walk out and go straight to our house, basically.
And you are living in a hobbit house once you get out.
Yeah, we had a fine hole in Bag End set aside for us.
That's great. I'm jealous of that. That was always my brother and I's dream, was to have a hobbit house of our own. We thought we would have to do it in Tennessee because New Zealand seemed like such a foreign concept. But
Well, you could still do it in Tennessee, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why Tennessee, but we settled on Tennessee. It's like, that's where we're going to put our hobbit house. We're going to build one in Tennessee.
So Middle Earth is kind of like based on maybe England or Europe or something, right? So do you think there was like an and then the elves go across the sea, and that's like symbolic of like returning to heaven because the elves are like godly creatures. Because, you know, Tolkien was a devout Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, like
he was friends with C.S. Lewis. Oh, but he didn't want to write. Right. He didn't want to write just like a direct allegory. He wanted to. He wanted to like write fantasy, but that didn't defy his beliefs as a Christian.
It's ironic because
we're talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, we're talking about Lord of the Rings. Look, people, it's our epic season. And
yeah,
honestly, I do think we'll get into it, but this was a pick, obviously, with you in New Zealand. It worked out. But
oh yeah.
What a pleasurable rewatch. Can't say that about all these really long movies, but this was just a delight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a movie that I've done a lot of rewatches of. Less and less over the years. I think once like kind of DVD players went away, or like when I just stopped valuing having a DVD, you know, like the age of broadband and digital content and whatnot. You know, I no longer have in my possession my collector's edition of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Right. Also, I just think because, you know, as you get older, you have less time. You can't just sit around and watch a 4-hour long director's cut. But like my most like poignant memory of this movie was during the 311 earthquake in Japan. I was stuck in Tokyo in my friend's place, and we had maybe like 40 beers, but we couldn't leave because everything was shut down. And we had Lord of the Rings, and we just watched the three director's cuts in one day, just slamming.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was awesome. So
that's a great thing. I've done that before. I've done the marathon. Mm. Just, you know, what is it, 12 hours?
About 12 hours.
It's about 12 hours, you're right. And it's dope.
It's so good. And obviously, you have to space, so you go grab food or something. So it took like the entire fucking day, and it was awesome.
Yeah, so this is a movie, really, I've been watching again and again since it came out, with a bit more space in between each rewatch. I think I rewatched it a few years ago with my wife, kind of in anticipation, because we wanted to go, well, we were planning on moving to New Zealand, and we did visit Hobbiton.
So that was
pretty cool.
That is awesome. I can't wait. When I come down there and visit, we got to do that.
Yeah, we'll get a pint at the Green Dragon.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That sounds so fucking awesome. I'm, like, not joking. I'm, like, super giddy for something, like, super touristy.
It's pretty good, yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I don't know. It's, like, better. It's beautiful. It's better than touristy. It's like, living art of this art that we love, which is Peter Jackson's presents J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and not to, like, be overflyer, I think this is maybe now, like, superseded Star Wars. Maybe it's just because Yeah, I just really, really enjoyed this. It was just, and you know it stays good for the next two movies as well. This one had it all for me.
Yeah.
This one just had it all. I don't think we really need to like recap the story. Everyone's seen Lord of the Rings, and it's a long fucking story, but it's just
But we should talk a little bit about why this movie's so good and the heavy lifting that it has to do. So this movie clocks in at almost 3 hours. I think the theatrical cut,
right,
which is what I watched.
It's what I watched
this time.
Yeah,
and it had to sell fantasy as a serious, you know, PG-13 blockbuster film. And the texts that it's based on are not very theatrical. You haven't read The Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I got to get this out of the way. I haven't, but I am going to after watching this. Like, I have decided.
Have you read The Hobbit?
I read The Hobbit.
Right. So The Hobbit is much more of a children's tale.
Right.
And I think The Hobbit, what's interesting is, like, The Hobbit, I think, would translate very well to film, which is surprising because they fucked it up so badly. Like, The Hobbit is almost, like, already written as, like, scenes of like a film, whereas Lord of the Rings is much more like a historical novel almost.
I thought up an ending for my book. And he lived happily ever after, to the end of his days.
And I'm sure you will, my dear friend.
And just the way that it's kind of divvied up in the different books, so you have a half of a book where Sam and Frodo aren't even present, and then you jump to the other story where it picks up where different people are. So there's a bit of, you know, the books themselves don't flow like a movie. And so this movie had a lot of work to do. And when you sit back and behold the masterpiece that is Fellowship of the Ring. I mean, like we could just quickly list scene by scene, like what happens. Like, first they have to give us the history of all of the rings and why the One Ring matters. Why, you know, they explain this MacGuffin with, they do it with a great montage that covers thousands of years of
maybe
Middle
like
Earth
the
history.
Best montage in movie history. One of them. It really does it well. You know, it's not boring. It's not cheesy. It's just good.
So you're like, all right, hell yeah, we're ready to go. Then boom, we can see Frodo sitting in the woods reading a book. Gandalf comes plopping in, and we're just in the lovely Shire, right? Mm. We got Bilbo's birthday party. Then Bilbo decides to leave the ring to Frodo and take off. So that's when Gandalf starts to become suspicious. Maybe this ring is more powerful than we thought. Then Frodo's got to escape the Shire, so he's already being chased. He's got to get to Rivendell. He gets stabbed. He gets to Rivendell. He has to recover, he's unconscious for, a month, basically.
Yeah, the time, so I know it's not their fault, but that's maybe the one criticism, is the sense of time is very fleeting in this watch. I think a lot of time passes, you know, where they're going up into the, you know, when they, between when he finds out what the ring is, when he's talking to...
It seems like the next day.
It seems like the next day.
Gandalf just comes back, But it surprisingly doesn't hurt the movie, right? It's they kind of had to do that to make the movie flow.
Great.
So
yeah, the pacing's great.
Then we've got the Council of Elrond. The Fellowship of the Ring is established. They set out on their journey.
You have my sword. And you have my bow.
And my axe.
They're trying to get around different places and go places. They have to try and pass the mountain, but Saruman summons a storm. They can't do it. They have to go through the mines of Moria.
Right.
Turns out that it's been destroyed and taken over by a demon.
Among the Fellowship, who do you think's the most fuckable? Do you think it's Viggo or do you think it's Bloom?
Oh, I was gonna say we should. So we've done this segment before. We've got who's your perfect man?
Yeah, I was thinking about it too, man. I was thinking.
But I do want to say that in Middle Earth, we're not limited to only men because we've got hobbits. We've got elves.
Oh.
We've got dwarves.
Oh, yeah.
We've got men. We got orcs.
Oh, man.
We got goblins. We got cave trolls.
Uruk-hai.
Yeah, we've got the Uruk-hai.
Yeah.
So so maybe we should do who's your favorite humanoid?
I like it. Do it. Let's open it up.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just going to go off the bat and say it's Orlando fucking Bloom, dude. You guys, elvish.
Oh, okay.
He's hot. He knows it. He shoots arrows. He's immortal. He has blue eyes. He can see far.
What do your elf eyes tell you, Dave? This is one.
I'm telling you,
this is one
fucking
elf.
Hot, sexy elf, dude. you know, he has arrows that don't quit. You know what I mean? And he has a quiver full of arrows. He just is unleashing them, ropes of arrows, you know? So I'm going straight. I'm not mixing, I'm not matching, I'm going Bloom. Bloom all the way.
Legolas, get them up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are we limited to just who's in the Fellowship?
No. Let's open it up. Is it the trees? They're not in this movie though, so.
Oh yeah. Well, so no, there's a lot of chances here, right? Because you know it's fantasy. So you know, I might have to say I might have to go with a. Oh wait, that's not a man. Never mind. I was gonna say Lady Galadriel. You know,
no, she doesn't
have some spooky power. You know,
she was
play going on.
Yeah, that was great though. She was good.
In place of a dark lord, you would have a queen, not dark but beautiful and terrible as the dawn.
Treacherous as the sea, stronger than the foundations of the earth. All shall love me and despair.
Then of course there's, you know, we've got Boromir, you know.
Well, Hugo Weaving's pretty cool.
Yeah, Elrond. Yeah, he's wise as well.
Wise, yeah.
And then we've got, you know, we got Saruman. He's got kind of the dual colored beard going on.
Yeah.
The dual staff wizard battle is dope.
That was dope. Sounds like you like all the men. Sounds like they're all your favorite.
Yeah. But I'd probably pick Gollum.
Gollum? Oh, man. He is humanoid. Yeah. He qualifies. He has nice hair.
You know, he's just begging for it, man. It's been thousands of years since he's had a good tumble in the mud, so.
Well, that's great. Plus that's how he found the ring.
He's fit, man.
Oh, yeah. He's been alive hundreds of years. I mean, the guy, he never quits. You know, he's going all night.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best.
All right. Sorry to interrupt the summary there, but just had to get
it out. No, we're good. So we're in Moria. Mm-hmm. We lose Gandalf in Moria when the Balrog is summoned.
Balrog.
They escape. They make it to some more elves. Mm-hmm. That's where they meet the Lady Galadriel. Frodo looks into the looking glass and sees a future and gets scared. Then we still have to set off, row down the river, and cross into Moria-ish area. But not before they get attacked by Uruk-hai and Boromir turns on Frodo. I mean, there's just like, there's so much happening.
I mean, you forget
every
about
scene them. Is important and it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel lost. Everything moves the story forward. You don't get confused by like who the characters are, what their motivations are.
I'm just so happy.
Them with dignity.
Yeah. I'm so happy it was and movies and not no like women. An HBO show. Yeah, there's no women. It's great. It's totally great.
Yeah, yeah. Should we talk about the HBO show?
Yeah, let's get it out.
Which
there.
Is not the HBO show, but as we know, the Amazon has paid $250 million for the rights to make a Lord of the Rings for internet streaming, and apparently are ready to spend $1 billion to film these.
Are they doing them in New Zealand? Will they do it in New Zealand? Maybe you could be on it, dude.
Yeah, they're probably doing it here. Looks like I'm guessing they're still working with Weta Workshop. And then they also have the Hobbiton set here. But who knows? They might just CG the whole thing, right? That's
what I'm afraid of. That's what's so good about the movies is the practical effects, you know? Like the
Or maybe he Bezos is using it as a cover. He's going to build all these hobbit holes, but really he's just making his apocalypse bunker.
Oh, that makes sense. I heard they casted Bezos's bald skull as the next ring, so it'll hit you there. So he's the ring. He's the one ring to rule them all, Jeff Bezos. So
yeah.
Anyway, I am not looking forward to that like at all. I'm sure I'm gonna watch it. Yeah. I'm gonna watch it. Don't get me wrong.
Are we gonna watch it? I don't know. I actually just canceled my Prime account because in New Zealand there is no Prime.
There's no Prime in New Zealand?
Yeah, there's no Amazon here. I mean, you can order stuff on Amazon, but it's like internationally shipped.
Oh shit, that's awesome. You're living in like you're living in the Shire. So there's no Amazon in the Shire. That's basically Saruman is basically Bezos. Maybe he identifies with it.
Yeah, or is he Sauron? Saruman is more like maybe like a Tim Cook.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's probably Saruman, right?
At this point, Steve Jobs is Boromir. You know, he's dead.
Yeah, totally, because he's dead. Also, Boromir, like, I just like because they can have depth of characters. You could tell this was like well written. Like, well, Boromir's weak. He fell for the ring, but you still like him and he died a hero. Like, it's not as black and white as young adult bullshit is nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, these characters are more complex. And even in just like the.
Even though Lord of the Rings is like basically just black and white, as in like orcs are bad and should just be killed, like exterminated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Do you know how the orcs first came into being? They were elves once. Taken by the dark powers, tortured and mutilated, a ruined and terrible form of life. And now, perfected my fighting Uruk-hai.
And, like, men are good, but men can be corrupted, and, like, it's... And, you know, the elves with the fairest skin are the best and most powerful.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, probably racist problems and stuff with this movie. And there's no, like,
but
black people.
It was written in the 40s by an English man. Like,
yeah.
Can't ask for a lot there.
Right. All this stuff, you can retcon on modern values onto it and probably hate it. Also, we're preemptively canceling anyone that tries to cancel Lord of the Rings. This movie is so fucking good. I don't even want to hear it. It's gonna come.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, do you think, like, because we're living in, like, woke times now, that there's just gonna be, like, black hobbits running around in the TV show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because they're just like, no, I mean, of course there are. There's Asian hobbits too. Like, they just didn't get to the Asian part of the Shire yet.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like,
though.
We have to, like, do you think they're gonna? Because, like, Game of Thrones didn't do this at all, right? They didn't go like, ah, fuck it, we're just gonna make, like, one of the houses of Westeros black, right? It was just like, not all white people. There's like one black character.
I just don't
pirate,
think you can do
like...
it. I don't think you. I mean, Lord of the even Game of Thrones started before the current situation. You know what I mean? And I don't even know about the old ones, but just the entirely men focused thing of maybe even the, like, this obviously has strong women like Liv Tyler and stuff, but. It's not...
Which, her character is mostly created for the films. I mean, she existed, but, like,
right,
the storyline,
yeah,
of her helping out is fake.
Oh, is that...
Well,
Edriel,
though...
Yeah.
No, there's... It's a different elf that helps out, and it's not Eowyn. But Eowyn and...
Aragorn
do... There is, like, a love story. That's real.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
This is real as the love between me and you, Dave.
I don't really give a shit about that kind of stuff. I'm just more worried that they, like...
Just fly right by that.
I just don't want it to be bad. You know, you can wokeify it, but just don't make it bad. Like, don't allow that to give a license to make it shitty, you know? And...
Yeah.
And I just don't cancel Lord of the Rings, please. It's the one thing we got, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
The world fucking sucks.
It's
this
like,
came
oh,
out
like,
in... 2001.
Dave, this just in. This is wild. This is wild. But from Beyond the Grave, Tolkien has tweeted from Beyond the Grave.
No.
Gandalf is gay.
Is he? Oh, that makes sense though, dude. You know.
And there is a Jewish hobbit, Golden Claw. What did Rowling come up with? She was like, "Yep." No, there was a Jewish guy in Hogwarts, Peter Goldstein in Ravenclaw, like got ya, like.
You think you did? You weren't woke? Boom.
Oh wait, hang on. He's tweeting again. Trans women are not women. Oh,
no,
man, not you too,
no,
J.R. Tolkien.
They're gonna cancel Tolkien from the grave. Oh no, dude. I just read. Aragorn has been embodied in real life, and he's quote tweeting Jordan Peterson.
Oh no!
Aragorn's a Jordan Peterson fan, dude. We're gonna have to cancel Aragorn.
This is rough.
This is rough.
We live in a place. We'll say we have to live in a place, and the place is doing quite nicely. Thank you very much. It's like the Hobbits and Frodo. Right, the first one, The Hobbit. Yeah, The Hobbit. Okay, so you got the little Shire there, right? It's all peaceful. It's full of these little people who are a little on the arrogant side. They're kind of dopey. They have no idea what the hell's going on in the outside world, but they think that's okay. They think, you know, just, you know, peculiar people are concerned about that sort of thing. They got their little happy paradise going. They live a long time. They eat a lot, you know, they party a lot. Unbeknownst to them, which is a very interesting feature of the story, the only reason they have any peace at all is because they are descendants of old kings continually patrolling the borders, right? Those are the Striders. Aragorn, he's the member of the race of old kings who patrols the borders. Well, those are ancestral figures. It's like you can all sit here in your little happy paradise, but the only reason you can do it is because the sons of great kings have put borders around your kingdom.
Anyway, just don't cancel it. I'm going to lose my mind if it happens, and I know it is. I'm tired of this shit. But I fucking love this. I loved it.
Yeah, it's just a perfect movie. This is my favorite of the Lord of the Rings films.
Yeah, I think as when I was younger, obviously the Two Towers was a kick-ass fight scene. Same with the Return of the King. The end fight scene is insane. But this reminds me of like Episode 4 is my favorite Star Wars, which is kind of a bit of a hot take because I just love the scene setting and you know it has like a nice conclusion. They didn't know it was going to be a sequel, so it felt good. This one also, just because it has so much journey up and down, the light, the dark, the funny, you know, not everything's so morose yet, which really starts happening soon. It's just good.
Yeah. You know? They do a good job, though. They're still humor breaks. Like, they made blockbuster movies. I think the third one gets a bit weaker, and I hope we talk about it on the podcast, but I think in hindsight, looking back on it, it really was kind of just nonsense CGI going on for...
Yeah, the elephants.
The majority
and stuff.
Of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that was just like, well, all these other movies made hundreds of millions of dollars, which was a lot when these movies came out. Now they'd be making, you know, a billion.
This would be raking in cash. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we move into hot takes, hot cakes?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right. I stole my hot cake from my or hot take from my wife, and it's thievery, and she was basically
Are you a burglar like the Hobbit, like Bilbo Baggins?
Right, exactly. She was basically saying that she had seen the movie, but every time we had put it on, she had fallen asleep immediately, and when I had put this on, she fell asleep immediately. But she's like, I was like, yeah, sure, you've seen it. What is it about? And she's like, well, it's basically a movie about a guy taking the ring from one town to another town. That's it. That's the movie. Actually, that's all three movies in one line.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of Mordor as a town.
the town of Mordor. Oh, where are you from? Where are you from again?
Mordor. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mordor. Whereabouts in Mordor?
Right near Mount Doom in the fiery pits.
Oh, the fiery cracks?
Yeah.
Oh, where the One Ring was forged.
Right, exactly. That's right around the corner from that.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm more by the tar pits, you know.
Yeah, is that where the Uruk-hai are coming from now?
No, that's down south by way of if we had our pal Matt West on here, he'd be embarrassing us with his Tolkien knowledge.
Is he big into this?
Isengard, it just came back to me. Yeah, he's a big fantasy nerd. And he loves Lord of the Rings. I'd love to have him on to talk about it, but
maybe we'll have him on for one of the other ones, yeah.
Hell yeah. So my hot take, Dave, I think yours I like your hot take being like the tagline on the movie poster, taking the ring from one town to another. But I think that my take is a little bit hotter, and I think that some people might get offended. You might even get offended by this, because this is pretty hot. This is probably not a lot of people are going to agree with me, I think. But you mentioned that you think maybe that this is better than Star Wars, right? And that some people might think that's like, wow, oh, that's crazy. But this is going to be a bit crazier than that, because I'm going to go out on a limb here, say I think Lord of the Rings is better than Harry Potter.
What? Dude,
I said it.
Does Lord of the Rings have a theme park to itself?
The Hobbiton in New Zealand.
Oh, shit. Does Lord of the Rings have a theme park close to my new house in Tokyo? That's going to be built by 2023.
That's not a theme park that's coming in. That's like a museum-ish thing.
Does Lord of the Rings have a museum-ish type thing with like
I don't know that Tokyo has a Tolkien museum. No, you're probably right.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know,
okay,
man. Harry Potter.
But I said it.
Harry Potter is probably the most good book. And it's so good. And I really like it.
You know, some people might say, whoa. Harry Potter had 8 movies. Lord of the Rings only has 6 movies. But I'll point out that if you include the extended editions of all 3 Hobbit movies and all 3 Lord of the Rings movies, it's actually going to clock in a lot longer than the 8 Harry Potter movies.
That's right. So, we're getting close to 9 movie territory there. You know.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Perhaps the great ringworm of Bailey is about.
Ringworms are no match for a dwarf.
Yes, we shall slay the ringworm and take its bounty of treasure, for that is the way of...
I shall put a magic spell on you.
I have blocked your spell, wizard. Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're playing Harry Potter.
Ha! Fact!
And that's a hot take, but I'm going to double up on you with a better hot cake.
Okay.
Now, we already did your favorite man, so I can't throw another man in here. That'd be insane. So my hot cake is Bilbo Baggins when he says, "Give it to me," you know. When I was a kid, like, scared the shit out of me. I did not expect that, but it's so hot. It's cool as hell. It's a hot cake. Comes out of nowhere. He's looking great. We should just have that sheen on at all times. So Bilbo Baggins say, "Give it to me." This is my hot cake. Looks good.
My old ring. Oh, I should very much like to hold it again one last time.
Yeah, I love it. My hot cake. I mean, there's just so much stuff that I love about this movie. One part, I guess, that just jumped into my mind now, so it's becoming my hot cake, literally, is when I like when Gandalf throws he's like, "Cast it into the fire," like the ring, the you know, envelope and all, and then he grabs it with the hot pincers, he's like, "Hold out your hand, Frodo.
It's cold."
It's quite cool.
Yeah.
And just like, whoa, you just like threw a ring into the fire. Like, it'd be funny if it like wasn't cool. Like, Gandalf was just wrong.
So just like, burnt his hand.
Just like a molten hot ring that Frodo grabs. Yeah, I just like the way he says, "It's quite cool."
Yeah, there's so many lines in this movie that I just remembered from having watched it so much when I was younger. Nothing like that nowadays. It makes me even want to watch something.
Nobody tosses a dwarf. That's another hot cake.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Not the beard.
I just like
Gimli kind of has Homer Simpson syndrome, where he just gets dumber and dumber over the movies.
Oh yeah, he just totally becomes like he becomes basically a comedic, like,
"That's the only conscious one."
Yeah. Also, just like when by Return of the King, he literally becomes a killing machine. This little guy just.
Oh yeah. Well, but dwarfs are vicious, man. I wouldn't want to get in a fight with a dwarf.
No, but I mean, he's still the Uruk-hai and the orcs. They're too weak. They need to make them a little bit stronger. I mean, they're slaughtering dozens of them. You know, is that what it's like in the books?
The books are very light on action, but they do go through quite a bit. But I mean, you have to remember these heroes are like
superheroes, basically.
Right. And in some cases, I forget if, I guess they don't hold the ring. For example, like Elrond, who doesn't participate in the battle, but like Elrond has one of the rings of power. So like he's like super special. So does Galadriel.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
They didn't say that in the movie, did they?
No, they don't talk about it. But like, you know, there's like the three the rings for the elves, and there's the elves, there's dwarven rings as well. So like, some of the dwarves have those. I don't know. I don't think Gimli has one of them, but like,
that would make more sense. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one, you know, our movies, we usually, when we have like bad or off or newer movies, it's easier to do it. But this is just so good. Love it. Maybe we move on to
Should we talk about brunchiness?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, or did you have another segment?
No, that's exactly what I wanted to move to.
Yeah. So brunchiness, of the movies in Lord of the Rings, I think Fellowship is the brunchiest.
By far.
There's a thing about this film that feels like coming home, where you're in the Shire and you're starting out on this adventure. And I think that's kind of how brunch feels for me on the weekends. You know, you're settling down and having something enjoyable before you set out on the rest of the weekend. And I think there's also a bit of, you know, the sadness in this is the loss of innocence of Frodo leaving the Shire and having to go on this journey and sacrificing himself and his enjoyment of brunch and second breakfasts and elevensies and all of these things in order to, for the world to continue to, you know, and the Shire to basically be a permanent brunch land.
Gentlemen, we do not stop till nightfall.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Don't think he knows about second breakfast, Pip.
What about elevensies? Luncheon, afternoon tea, dinner, supper. He knows about them, doesn't he?
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah.
And so it's about a sacrifice. It's about a little hobbit sacrificing himself for the brunch of all.
I think it shocked me how brunchy this was. It has a great sheen on the film. It has that glossy, because it was basically made in the 90s, even though it came out in 2001. So there is still of the
90s. Yeah, it's crazy.
Still has this like incredible giddiness to it. It's light. The music's fantastic. Pacing strong. It's not too violent. It's not too dark. The Mordor scenes, you know, the Moria scene is maybe the least brunchy in the movie, but it still is like not awful. There's like a comedic.
They escape into the light.
Yeah, exactly. And even like the tree scene when they're getting hunted by the Orcai, it's taking place in the daytime. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then it ends with Frodo kind of picking Sam out of the river. I don't know, man. I'm like shocking myself and my score. I'm going real high. I'm in the sixes. I'm going 6.4 out of 7. This is real high for me.
It's definitely brunchy. I also love, especially in Fellowship, when you can see how many like practical effects they use.
Yeah.
There's like some real, you know, because Peter Jackson's background is in like these really corny horror films.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever seen Dead Alive.
No, but I hear it gets brutally like over the top violent and stuff.
It's really funny. Yeah. You should watch it. I kick ass for the Lord. There's some good stuff in it. But yeah, there's a lot of that corny stuff, like the flame into like the head of the ring wraith, and he's just like, and like,
yeah, that was cheesy. That was legit cheesy. Yeah, I was laughing at.
There is just like a lot of these like kind of like thrown in there, just like random kind of like slow motion shots of like the orc like looking at the camera and like, it's funny how it's like surprising how well this came together because of all just like the somewhat extremely corny pieces that are thrown throughout,
but that gives it a charm, and it makes it honestly ironically hold up better because it transports you to that time. It's not so self-serious, you know, which is another problem that so many things have today.
Mr. Frodo's not going anywhere without me.
No, indeed, it is hardly possible to separate you, even when he is summoned to a secret council, and you are not.
We're coming too. Send us all tied up in a sack to stuff us. Anyway, you need people of intelligence on this sort of mission. Quest. Thing.
Well, that rules you out, Pip.
Nine companions.
So be it. You shall be the Fellowship of the Ring.
Right. Where are we going?
Yeah. Although I would love to see the Snyder cut of this.
We got Snyder cut Lord of the Rings. That sounds good.
God, if Zack Snyder got to do Lord of the Rings and just made it just the bleakest, just like, actually Frodo was evil, you know, like.
Oh, that'd be good. Frodo's like, Frodo accidentally fucked Sam's girlfriend before they left. And it's just like, keeps coming
and
up.
Like, Gollum is the good guy.
Yeah.
And the Joker is there.
And the Joker. It just has damaged written on. No, what if Frodo had the damaged tattoo because of the ring?
That seems like more like a Peregrine Took or.
Yeah.
A fool of a Took could be the. Yeah. Could be the Joker. You know, Gimli could be Croc, Killer Croc.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, hell yeah.
We could have Gandalf could be Cyborg. I don't know. That's a character in those movies, right?
Yeah. Man, those movies, that Suicide Squad was, they're making a new one. They're just like remaking it, right? They're like, we fucked up the first
Gunn,
time.
Yeah, James Gunn, the Guardians of the Galaxy dude, gets to make it. Did you know that?
He's back.
Yeah, James Gunn was canceled, but also did you know that he was, they're divorced, but he was married to Pam from The Office.
Oh.
Yeah.
She in Lord of the Rings?
No.
She would have been good.
Neither is James Gunn.
No, yeah. Not, she would have been good in Lord of the Rings.
She'd been an elf with some nice mommy milkers.
Oh, baby. She would have been a great, like, secretary to Saruman or something, and she could do... It's Saruman. It's getting
like
really...
Saruman, like, looks at the camera, yeah, right, you know, like...
Pam's, like, doing the magic paperwork or whatever. That'd be pretty cool.
Smoke rises from the Mountain of Doom. The hour grows late, and Gandalf the Grey rides to Isengard, seeking my counsel.
Good morning, can I help you?
Saruman.
I'm sorry, he's not in right now. They have new phone systems now that can ring directly to a salesman, or someone presses star and they go to accounting, basically 95% of my job.
Why should we fear to use it?
But I'd like to see a machine that puts out candy for everyone. Vending machine.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
Like, you know, you shall not pass. And then, like, Saruman looks at the camera, that's what she said, you know.
Let's do it.
Spitballing here.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's move
to... is that it?
No,
we gotta do pairings. Let's wrap it up there. Let's...
No, I was good. No, we gotta do our pairings. Obviously, you can go the... You can go the One Brunch to Rule 'Em All. You could go Inspiration from the Shire. You could do...
you could just live like a hobbit for a day. And seven or whatever they... How many meals they have per day. It's like more than seven.
Exactly. So I think I do that. I'm going to just...
Breakfast. You got second breakfast.
All right.
You've got 11 C's.
Hmm.
I don't know if they have specifically brunch. Let me look up Hobbit meals while we're here.
I mean, second breakfast is basically brunch, right?
Yeah, so they've got breakfast, second breakfast, 11 Z's, which is at 11 a.m. Second breakfast is at 9. They wake up at 7 to have first breakfast.
That's good.
Then they have luncheon at 1, afternoon tea at 3, dinner is at 6, and supper at 9.
Yeah, that's always thrown me off as like the English term for dinner and supper. You see it in like older books. You know, we're having dinner at like 2 p.m. and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this book? You know, I don't have a sense of time.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the pairing. It's just hanging out with the Hobbit and Hobbiton.
Yeah.
And going to that
fucking... Get some of that South Farling leaf, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Get some of that llama spread, whatever that is. Try that. Get like a couple sausages, you know? I want to go to that fucking place when I visit New Zealand.
Salted
pork. Yeah, yeah. Exactly, man. Get some carrots you stole from
a
farmer.
Maggot.
You've been in the Farmer Maggot's crop.
You're way so upset. It's only a couple of carrots.
And some cabbages. And those three bags of potatoes that we left in last week. And then the mushrooms the week before.
Yes, Pippin. My point is, he's clearly overreacted.
Yeah.
Run!
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to go to Bilbo's house, man. I want to go to Bag End and just fucking dig into his larders. It's like when Gandalf comes in, he's like, bit of tea, something stronger.
Yeah.
Got a fine vintage that's almost
as old as I am.
Tea?
Right.
Something a little stronger. I've got a few bottles of the old Wynyard left. 1296. Very good year. Almost as old as I am.
It was laid down by my father. What say we open?
I can make you some eggs if you like.
Just tea, thank you.
11-1 years old. Do you think you're going to live to be 11-1?
No, I do not.
Do you think the hobbits have... Maybe if we start eating like hobbits, we will.
Just 9 meals a day.
Yeah.
I think I read that basically, you know, those predictions about people living to 150 were just wrong. And the average age of increase is basically because people were eking out a few years at the end in childhood mortality. So we're pretty much at capacity at like 90. And then the way that, you know, I'm trying to get in a better shape, but I don't see myself making it to 90.
I don't think it's going to be worth it, to be honest. I don't know what kind of world we're going to have.
Yeah, it's probably going to suck. So I'm aiming 80, 80, 83. That'd be nice. That'd be good enough.
Yeah, it's fine.
And maybe I'll have a few extra, you know, 11Zs thrown in there, and that'll bring it down to 82. Right?
So,
yeah, that's the goal.
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now. I bid you all a very fond farewell. Goodbye.
Well, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, man. I miss you already. I'm sad that you're gone. But now I have a great place to visit, so that's cool.
And I maybe because you want to catch up with me, you know, we might actually record the podcast more frequently.
Yeah, I think that'll help. They don't know that we've had... I guess they kind of know. There's always... We come in lulls and swings, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of things happening in the last few months, so it's... But we're going to do our best to continue bringing you a podcast.
For sure.
At this point, we have... Yeah, I think we have, like, as long as we record one more in the next 4 weeks, we get to episode 6, so...
It's pretty good. We have to have among the most international podcasts. You in New Zealand, me in Japan, John in the States, you know. We should have him come on again, because he's always really acute analysis and, you know, strong. Yeah. John, you've been killing it on the editing, though.
Yeah. We've been talking about if you continue to be busy, then we're going to have to find ways to make the cast without you. So,
yeah.
We'll make it happen.
I like listening to you guys when you do it, too. So.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right, man. We'll keep safe.
We'll do. And, so if you continue sticking with us with Brunch Movies, there's probably going to be a bit more banter because Dave and I are going to catch up on the podcast. So hopefully you're listening for that and not just our...
Great movie takes about a movie 20.
How we, yeah. 20-year-old movie that everyone loves. And that won the Oscar. No,
yeah, the Oscar. So.
Everybody.
Yeah, have a good one.
And it has all been in vain. The Fellowship has failed.
What if we hold true to each other? We will not abandon Merry and Pippin to torment and death. Not while we have strength left.
Leave all that can be spared behind.
We travel light. Let us hunt some orc.